Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 23, entitled The Demigods Regain the Heavenly Planets, Text 10. Nityam Drashtasi Mam Tatra Gada Panim Avashtitam Mad Darshanam Mahahlada Dvashta Karma Nibandhanaham. Nityam drashta simam tatra. Nityam drashta simam tatra. Gada panim avashtitam. Gada panim avashtitam. Mad darshana mahahladam. Mad darshana mahahladam. Dvashta karma nibandhanam. Dvashta karma nibandhanam. Nityam drashta simam tatram. Gada panim avashtitam. Mad darshana mahahladam. Dvashta karma nirbandhanam. Nityam drashta simam tatram. Gada panim avashtitam. Mad darshana mahahladam. Dvashta karma nirbandhanam. Nityam drashta simam tatra. Gada panim avashtitam. Madarshana mahahladam. Dvashta karma nibandhanaham. Madhajis?
Ityam drashta simam tatra.
Darshana Mahara Dashta Karma Nibandana Nityam constantly Drashta the seer Asi you shall be Mam unto me Tatra there in Sutala Loka Gadapanim with a club in my hand Avashtitam situated there Maddarshanam by seeing me in that form Maha-ahlada by the great transcendental bliss Dvashta having been vanquished Karmanim bandanaha the bondage of fruitive activities Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead assured Prahlad Maharaj, you shall be able to see me there in my usual feature with conch shell, disc, club and lotus in my hand because of your transcendental bliss due to always personally seeing me, you will have no further bondage to fruitive activities. Purport. Karma bandha, the bondage of fruitive activities, entails the repetition of birth and death. One performs fruitive activities in such a way that he creates another body for his next life. As long as one is attached to fruitive activities, one must accept another material body. This repeated acceptance of material bodies is called samsara bandhana. To stop this, a devotee is advised to see the Supreme Lord constantly. The Kanishta Adhikari or neophyte devotee is therefore advised to visit the temple every day and see the form of the Lord regularly. Thus the neophyte devotee can be freed from the bondage of fruitive activities. Om Gyan Timiran Dasya Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Name Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschiti Deshitarim Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadara Shasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nityam Drashta Simam Tatram Gadapanim Avashtitam Maddarshana Mahahlada Vashta Karma Nirbandhanaham. The Supreme Personality of Godhead assured Prahlad Maharaj, you shall be able to see me there in my usual feature with conch shell, disc, club and lotus in my hand because of your transcendental bliss due to always personally seeing me, you will have no further bondage to fruitive activities. So Bali Maharaj, after being bound by the ropes, Naga ropes of Varuna, and later on having been taken everything from him, has been finally released, and in the presence of his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, had a darshan, or that beautiful vision and association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vamandev, who is now, after hearing the most wonderful prayers that we have been listening last few days of the Prahlad Maharaj, is assuring both of them that there will be nothing that will be lacking in their life. There'll be nothing of any kind of anxiety as long as they will have His association. So what is that association that Supreme Personality of Godhead is assuring them of? It's directly His personal form. It's the most enchanting personal form of Lord Gadadhar. We know that Lord Vamandev appeared in a unique form, unique feature of a small kind of dwarf, Brahmana boy. Very beautiful. He's the one of the epitomes of beauty, because the quality of beauty is especially enhanced. It is manifested within the form of Lord Vamandev and Mohini Murti. Those two incarnations are very, very attractive, very beautiful. Of course, and Krishna, who is the source of all the opulences, all the qualities. But especially this feature, Lord Vamandev appeared to enchant everyone, to attract everyone. And as we know the story of the Bali Maharaj sister who later became Putana, she was also very attracted. Everybody was very attracted. Except somehow Shukracharya, who had been attached to these fruitive activities, that actually now itself the Supreme Personality of Godhead is assuring Prahlad Maharaj that this is something that it's unnecessary. It's something that is just karma bandhana. It's the source of bondage. Only Shukracharya, he had been, later on he will definitely surrender also and be given blessings of Lord Vamandev. But he was somehow still reluctant. He was very, very attached. So in spite of even presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wouldn't have let it go. All these attachments that he considered are in relationship to him through his disciple, namely Bali Maharaj. So that is that very, very strong attachment. This is what Srila Prabhupada talks here about in the purport. That karma bandhana, yagyartat karma no anyatra lokyan karma bandhana, tadartam karma konte mukta samga samachara. That bondage that keeps us here in this material world, which we won't let go. We just won't let go. And it's so difficult to let go because we have been accustomed for billions of lifetimes to hold upon it. And this is that great bondage that keeps us sinking actually deeper and deeper and deeper into this mire of material existence. So only Shukracharya somehow was very, very staunchly holding upon it. Whereas everybody else was very much attracted to the form of Lord Vamandev. Very beautiful. Very attractive form. As I said, even the sister of Bali Maharaj was so attracted. But of course, when he was cheated, then she kind of vowed that if I could, I would have definitely reacted, kind of killed that personality. And this is why she came as a Putana. But later on, because of the attraction towards the Supreme, she's given position of a mother. It was the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, looking and appreciating everything positive that anyone expresses in relationship towards Him. They're just seeing anything positive. So therefore, even Shukracharya had some positive qualities, and therefore later on he was, so to say, reinstated. He was still retaining that position of the guru of the demons and remain as the priest, as the brahmana for all the demons, including Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj. So the Lord appeared as Lord Vamandev, a very beautiful form. But here what is interesting, he's pointing out that in the lower planetary systems, I won't be present in that form, because that form is one of the special forms presented for this particular pastime. So it is in a way a lila avatar, the appearance for the specific purpose, for a specific pastime. But here he is saying that in those lower planetary systems, I will appear as actually what we know according to this position that having conch shell disc, club and lotus, I have heard from on Prabhupada disciple that this is the form of Gadadhar. Of course, there are many different, you know, forms, 20 years plus something, different forms according to different positions, how the Lord holds the conch shell, club, disc or lotus. So he appeared in that form in the lower planetary system, granting darshan to Prahlad Maharaj and to Bali Maharaj, practically everybody there. This is his inconceivable mercy, being constantly present in front of their eyes. So this is what it's stressed here in the verse, that the point is that having his presence, having the Lord's presence, Lord Vamadeva is assuring Prahlad Maharaj that you will be constantly in the bliss. You'll be always in transcendental ecstasy. Like the word Hlad, Prahlad. So similarly here we have Mahahlada. And it's translated here, it said, by the great transcendental bliss. So great transcendental bliss. So many times multiplied. We can't even imagine, we don't even know what is bliss, what to understand, what is, you know, real unending transcendental bliss. And especially in association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like, as such. Such an incredible pleasure that somebody can derive in association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now what means association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Does that mean that Krishna has to personally come? That we all expect many times, like when we go to the holy place, that maybe now Krishna is going to appear to us, or we'll have some direct vision and darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then only our life is successful? Or it means also something else, some different kind of understanding, some different kind of vision, some different kind of association that we may have with Krishna. Of course, when we go to the holy place, Srila Prabhupada said, when he went to the Vrindavan, the whole idea was to kind of, the mood should be to expect that Krishna may jump from any bush and appear. That is definitely there. That kind of consciousness and attitude should be there. But does it mean that Krishna has to always personally manifest and render any kind of our desire and expectation that we have, and then only we can have a faith that Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna exists? No, not necessary. Krishna appears in various forms. Like here we see, for various purposes, he will manifest various forms. And we know in this age of Kali, the way to associate with Supreme Person is through the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the incarnation of the Supreme Person in this age of Kali. And he can be constantly present there. And he is constantly present if we want him to be present. He's constantly there. Of course, another form of mercy, it's Archamurti, is there. It's there in the temple. Here it is said, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that actually the Kanishta Adhikari or neophyte devotee is therefore advised to visit the temple every day and see the form of the Lord regularly. So for us who are neophyte, or at least for speak for myself, we do need so much of the that kind of presence or association of that form of the Archamurti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is why we follow, as Amiya Vilas Maharaj was talking about Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, stressing it upon it so much the other day. This is definitely the process that we have to undertake, and it's only hope for us, since it is the only way to remember Krishna. Otherwise, how are we going to remember Krishna? By chanting, it is very difficult. We don't have that focus, that concentration, that attention, that love, that dedication, that surrender, that just by chanting of the holy names, we can always remember Krishna. It's not so easy. Even sometimes in the difficult circumstances, it's not, we would expect to remember Krishna, but we don't do that. Sometimes, you know, we remember so many other things. Once I was in the morning walk, I was just a little bit, after Mangal Arati, I was chanting. And where we have the garden lawn, the champa flowers, there was one devotee and he didn't see me. So I just said, Hare Krishna, suddenly. He was also chanting. And instead of remembering Krishna, he shouted, Security! So he didn't remember Krishna. So it was a little funny. We were laughing afterwards. And still we laugh and remember that. So he didn't remember Krishna. So it's not so easy to remember Krishna. Of course, security, but you know, it's like... That was very interesting. So this is why Krishna appears and bless us. It is His mercy. If we want Him to appear, He will definitely appear if you want Him to be present. And He's always there. He's always there as the Paramatma within each and everyone's heart. And He's constantly just waiting for us actually to turn towards Him and start taking advantage of that. Becoming blessed, becoming here, as it said, constantly blissful, relishing that transcendental bliss. So it's not up to Him, it's up to us. There's no space or time that can limit the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The only limitation is us ourselves, our false ego, our contaminated mind, our attraction for all these trivial, temporary, material things that we are so attached within this material world. These are only the obstacles for us to perceive that transcendental bliss, which is our inherent right actually, as the spirit soul. This is what our nature is. Sat-chit and Ananda. But being so foolish, unfortunately, we have no interest in... We are so ignorant, first of all, about that original nature that we have, which to some degree, at least philosophically, we can perceive. We don't want to die. Why? Because we are eternal. We are seeking for happiness, but we find no happiness in this material world. Yeah. We are looking for perfect knowledge, but where is it? It's all relative. So just the common sense points out it's a contradiction. Our whole existence here in this world, it's a contradiction. We are looking for that bliss. We are looking for that eternity, but it's just not there. And Krishna is ready to offer it to us. But we are just so stubborn that we don't want to accept it. Yeah. We are so staunchly adhering to all these materialistic processes and principles which we think will make us happy. That is our foolishness. So here we see how Krishna, He is not bound. He will go to lower planetary systems also. It's not that Krishna just is present or manifested in the higher planetary systems. What does Krishna says? I am there where my devotees chant the holy names. I am there, I am present. Wherever my devotees associate and they talk amongst each other about me, I am there, I am present. I am not in Vaikuntha, I am not in hearts of the yogis. I am there where the holy names is chanted, where devotees converse about me. Katayantas chamam nityam. Tushanti charamantich. I am there. I am always eternally present. So Krishna can be present and is present every moment if we want Him to be present. And doesn't matter in which form He is present. You know, that is not so important. But He will be present in the form actually that we want Him to be present. He can manifest in any form. Yeah. Of course, as the some kind of a, we may assume, guard with discus, club, conch and lotus. Krishna is guarding. Apparently is guarding. There's nothing to be guarded down in the lower planetary system. But Krishna is there for protection, for shelter. In the Sutala, lower planetary systems, which we know they're described as Bilasvarga. That means they're heavenly practically, but they're just in the lower planetary systems. They're beyond the Bhumandala or within the Bhumandala. 10,000 yojanas in height and width. Cave-like kind of planetary systems without any sunlight. When there is no conception of time, passing of the time, when there is no practically conception of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pretty demoniac places. But they are much more opulent than the heavenly planets. Much more attractive than the heavenly planets. And even these, Krishna had made as such, for what? For the pleasure of Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj, both devotees, His devotees. So that they can stay there and be transcendentally blissful. So it doesn't matter whether devotee is. We know the story of Chitraketu. Whether, Lord Shiva is telling to Parvati, whether heaven or hell, it doesn't matter for a devotee. If he is Krishna conscious, he just doesn't, he's not bound, he's not affected by any environment or anything as such. devotee will be blissful. So if anybody is Krishna conscious, no matter what kind of circumstance there is, even when we go out and preach, or we meet some kind of, or are exposed to some kind of unfavorable, apparently unfavorable circumstances, it just doesn't matter. What it matters is whether we are Krishna conscious or not. Even when Prabhupada came to, like he said, London is a hell, or he came to New York or any other place, you know, Prabhupada was always Krishna conscious. And he said, wherever I am, that is Vrindavan. Because what is Vrindavan? Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. So Krishna is always there. He's not, again, as I said, he's not bound by any time, he's not bound by any space. And Krishna will manifest, Krishna will definitely reciprocate if we want Him so. If we want Krishna to be there with us, and if we want this transcendental bliss. Of course we want it, but we just don't know. We are so ignorant about it. Yesterday also I spoke to one boy, and he said in my horoscope, somebody said, predicted that I would be a very great personality. Now I'm not, but in the future. It will happen after a lot of hard struggle and work. And then I will have a lot of enemies. That has been also said. And he's so staunchly believing to that. That, you know, in the future he will be kind of very prominent personality, whatever. And that pointed out to this karma bandhana. Even if that might be somebody's karma, but it's something that's going to bound a person to completely this kind of bodily conception of life. You know, and then what is the use of all of that? And as I said, that kind of projection into the future, or kind of trying to identify with something that somebody said, whether it's correct or not, that's another thing. Because a very good astrologer or Jyotisha will never say to the person something that can be affecting his life in diverse ways, whatever, you know. Because he also gets karma, influencing the person. And we all get influenced by hearing for so-called or pseudo-authorities. And we try to mold our lives as such. And we'll try to do anything and everything to kind of fulfill those kind of better, you know, pseudo-prophecies. Or it might be true, whatever it might be. But then we start identifying, this is that false ego that keeps us here in this material world. So why holding upon that false ego? What does it matter which mode do we associate? All the modes, they're bound, they're cause of bondage. We should not associate with any mode, either golden, silver, or, you know, iron. What does it matter? They're all shackles that keep us bound in this material world. And then starting to identify, of course we're going to suffer. I said, that kind of conception of being bound, being attracted to the idea, this is my identity. This is my identity, and in the future it is going to be as such and such and such. This is this karma bandhana. And then we assume more and more ego, and we become more and more bound in this world. Because the ego is the catalyst that binds us actually in this material existence. You take all the elements, when you analyze the creation, from beginning till the end practically, all the elements, from the subtle to gross, bhumi apana lovayu kamano buddhireva chahankaretyame bina prakritirashtra, whatever it might be. You know, you just keep on adding more ego as a catalyst, you'll get another kind of grosser element. Just keep on adding it, you'll get, you know, grosser element. From the sky to air, from ether to air, to fire, to water and to earth. Just that, what it means, you keep on adding more ego. Yeah. So adding more ego like this, you know, trying to identify with so many kind of different things, you know, it's just further bondage. And it's so difficult, you know, to break that down. It's so difficult. So then where is the question of dreaming about future like this, and especially this is complete mode of passion. So much ambition just for certain type of position. So much ambition just for certain type of identity that somebody will respect, that labha, puja and pratishta. Subtle manifestations of lust. It's a heavy bondage. It's heavy bondage. And that's why even for us here, as Srila Prabhupada said, the only hope is just the deity worship. Seeing the deity, seeing the form of the Lord, associating with the Lord. That's something hopefully that will purify our false identity. Make us understand that we are servant of Krishna. And starting from that, you know, starting identifying on little higher levels. That's the only hope. Otherwise, that this kind of false identity and dreaming, it's just that heavy mode of passion. And what is the result of the mode of passion? Krishna stating in Bhagavad Gita. Anybody knows what's the result of the mode of passion? Huh? Can someone raise the hand? Misery, pain, suffering. That's what it is. You might gain whatever you want to gain, you might identify whatever you want, but ultimate result is going to be suffering, misery. Like he said, he'll have many enemies. That was very interesting. I said, why? Great. Why is that? Because people are envious nowadays, of course, and you know, whatever anybody else has, they want to have it also. So is it worthy? You already know the end result practically. Even if you endeavor on that spot, you know, and still you're so identifying heavily with it. Because what means karma? Here it said, in the purport, it said, one performs fruitive activities in such a way that he creates another body for his next life. That's the definition of karma. Bhagavad Gita, end point 2. Karma means activity which creates your next body. So where is the end of creating other, you know, all these different types of body and keep on identifying lifetime after lifetime with something else? And it's such a pain. Now I'm this, tomorrow I'm dead, you know, it's like, such a headache, all these different identities and nothing to do with our original identity, nothing. So the only way to break through is just trying to focus to the absolute form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which we are so blessed that at least we have this, like Srila Prabhupada said, oasis, the temples, the Vaikuntha places. Yeah, like once I think Giriraj Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada and the devotees here, they were going for a morning walk here at the Juhu Beach, and somebody pointed out the wall around, it's kind of like a jail, that a temple is surrounded. It looks like a jail, but actually Prabhupada said the jail is outside. This is Vaikuntha. So this is the spiritual place. So we are so fortunate that we have that opportunity to be without anxiety, to be in the Vaikuntha, where Krishna is present. And we can have Krishna's presence at any moment. Like Gopal Guru, every moment and any place became the Acharya. We know the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking why he's chanting at a certain place and so on. It just doesn't matter. Place and time, the space, nothing is limiting Krishna. Krishna is everywhere if you want to be constantly conscious and aware of his presence. He's there. But we have to take that advantage. And then there won't be any anxieties, then there won't be any kunta, then there won't be any this kind of samsara bandhana or karma bandhana, any of these false identifications that prevents us from this, you know, as I said, inherent state of blissfulness that we can only have in association of Krishna, being Krishna conscious. So this is the most wonderful manifestation of the Lord granting such kind of blessings to his devotees, because we are so afraid, unfortunately, to give up that karma bandhana. No, it's mine. Just sometimes, you know, like you try to take something from a kid. Yeah, just try to take something. You know, he won't give. Many times they're so attached to even any kind of insignificant thing. You know, they'll pull. No. So we are also like this. No, it's just kind of tug of war. You know, I'm attached. No, don't take this. You know, it's like keep on pulling back with Krishna. No, Krishna, please just leave this little bit. Not so much. You know, just, you know, it's like we don't want to surrender. We just don't want to give it up. You know, like that painting of the Draupadi, like when we go and do the parikram. I don't know if any of you have noticed, you know, where did that lila take place? You can see that painting. It's just here on the parikram path where Draupadi raised her hands. You know, and in the background, you know, where the lila is supposedly happened. Where was that? Where did that pastime happen? Huh? Hastinapur. Yes, pastime happened in the Hastinapur. When you see that painting, it actually happened in our temple here. You see the pillars behind. It's kind of funny. Anyway, it's a minor thing. So, raising hands, surrendering completely, giving up. Why we are so attached to something? Again, so many times we heard in past, you know, lectures, you know, the Dhruva Maharaj example of being, he said that our conception, we are just attached to the broken glass. Krishna knows what's the best for us. Why we don't have any trust in Krishna? So essentially all these pastimes that we are hearing now, And in particularly this pastime of Supreme Personality of Godhead giving the mercy to Prahlad Maharaj, giving the mercy to Bali Maharaj. Whatever we are hearing here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's aimed at what? To give us faith how Krishna acts. We know Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's instructions. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna's activities, you know, in his relationship towards his devotees. When we act upon Bhagavad Gita, what happens? This is the description in Srimad Bhagavatam. If we act upon it, that this kind of relationship we can expect from Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here it is. It's just an example pointing out if you give up everything, you'll get everything. And more than that. You can't even imagine how much Krishna will reciprocate. So why we are so afraid? Why we are so afraid? Why we just can't stand in front of the Lord here and just say, okay, Krishna, like Shishi Gorni Thai, we also raise our hand. Okay, Krishna, whatever you want. The only thing that we have to be attached practically, it's what? Who can say? The only thing that we should be attached to is what? And everything else should we give up. But there is one thing at least that we have to be attached to and never give it up. What is that thing? Huh? But can someone raise the hand? Holy name? Okay, something else. Pamput? Huh? Service. Service. This is something that we should be definitely attached. That's something that we shouldn't so easily give up. That's a little thing that we should be attached. Even Prabhupada at one point, there was discussion, of course there's that Mayavadi conception and philosophy that, you know, everything is one kind of, so it doesn't matter. So sometimes devotees also kind of, in a sense, we can, it doesn't really matter, you know, sometimes they're tinged with that kind of conception. We can also kind of use everything in Krishna's service and it doesn't matter who does what and this and that. And, you know, but Prabhupada pointed out, I have my watch. If anybody tries to take it, I'll fight for it. Because Krishna has given that watch to me and I'm using it in his service. That is the point. So we can be attached to the service and the things that we use in Krishna's, for Krishna's pleasure. That is there. Of course, there is also common sense. It's not just black and white. There are so many things to consider. But the essence is that this is something that we should be attached to, our service. At any circumstance, if we find ourselves without the service, that means we are very unfortunate. Then there should be alarm bell ringing and say, hey, you know, now you're gliding down towards karma bandhana. Because we know by the nature, we have to be engaged. If we are not engaged in Krishna's service, if we are not attached to Krishna's service, then what's going to happen? We're going to start becoming attached to something else. So that's why we have to value that Krishna service. We just have to treasure it like anything. Because that's our only hope. That's our only means to have a darshan of Krishna. Because as I said, even holy name, fine. You know, that's okay. But do we have attachment and a taste for the holy name? That's what Srila Prabhupada said. He built all these big temples and everything. Why? So that we can be engaged. You can't be focused in the chanting of the holy name if you're not focused in your service. It's impossible. So that's why Prabhupada created the whole system where we become engaged as much as possible so that we focus on that and then only our chanting can be nice and focused. Otherwise our chanting will be useless. First our service should be focused. We should be focused in service. Of course, focus on both as much as possible. But if you are focused in service, then we'll be focused in chanting also. So service is the first thing. At least through which we start chanting and becoming engaged and developing more and more taste. So this is such a wonderful mercy of Shri Radharas Bihari, that they're present and they're engaging us in their service so that we can also, and we do also derive at present, some transcendental bliss according to our surrender. And as we see through these wonderful examples of these both Mahajans, you know, if we follow in their footsteps and just give it up and just pray to Krishna, please guide us, having trust in them that nothing happens without their sanction, then we can achieve that wonderful transcendental state as both of them did. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments?
It is a comment.
Yes, Maharaj.
I was, because since I read this purport, Mainly, I was focusing on different points. Then I come to know my nectar of instruction, text 5. Especially about Kanishta Adhikari. Prabhupada explaining in that purport, a neophyte devotee must come every day and see constantly the deity. In this way, become purified. So, thus the neophyte devotee be freed from bondage of fruitive activities. So, further comment is that Bhagavad Gita also explains that there are 5 basic truths. Out of 5, karma not eternal. Also in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, nicely talking about karma. In 3rd chapter, Krishna says, Yajna artha karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. The word here, karma bandhana, it came. The Lord says that to Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, work done should be satisfied for Lord Vishnu. Otherwise, that work will bind us. So that is the karma bandhana. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, like a chapter 9, nicely explaining that about a person who has completely ended the reaction of all sinful activities, who is fully engaged in pious activities, being freed from duality of this material world, becomes engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, further it is explaining that this knowledge is the purest form of all activities, as is explained in the Vedic literature. In the Padma Purana, man's sinful activities have been analyzed and are shown to be the result of sin after sin. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities. Now again here, Prabhupada writes in the purport, are entangled in different stages form of sinful reactions. You must be remembering Sri Shopanishad also in the 18th mantra. It is explaining that in karma there is a sinful activities involved. Karma, akarma and vikarma. Karma means acting according to the Vedas, Shastra. Vikarma means against the scriptures. That is called vikarma. So Prabhupada in that purport explaining that in sin karma there are sinful acts involved. So here Prabhupada says those who engage in fruitive activities are entangled in different stages form of sinful reaction. For instance, when the seed of a particular tree is shown, the tree does not appear immediately to grow. It takes some time. It is first a small sprouting plant, then it assumes the form of a tree. Then it flowers, bears fruits when it is complete. The flowers and fruits are enjoyed by persons who have shown the seed of the tree. Similarly, a man performs sinful acts, and like a seed, it takes time to fructify. There are different stages of sinful reactions. Prabhupada further says, there are different stages. The sinful action may have already stopped within the individual, but the result or fruit of that sinful action are still enjoyed. There are sins which are still in the form of a seed. There are others which are already fructified and giving us fruit, we are enjoying as a distress and pain, as explained in the 20th verse of the 7th chapter. So, furthermore, little understanding of this karma, that now, in the purport, Prabhupada explained, a neophyte devotee, I'm always trying to understand. Now, the neophyte devotee means like a we have ISKCON institution. We are initiated by the spiritual master. Harinam Diksha, first initiation is called, is a Kanishta, neophyte devotee. So we are all still free, not free from the karma. Devotees, he become free from karma bond only when he 100% surrendered to the spiritual master and Krishna. Otherwise, we are not free from the karma bandhana, even the devotees. So this is the, my comment on this subject matter. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. We have a few more minutes. Any other question? Yes.
Hare Krishna Babaji. How can I understand that I attach to service of Krishna?
Okay, the question is, how do I understand that I'm attached to service of Krishna? Well, if we constantly meditate upon it, even while we are not performing it, and even while we are performing it, we make sure, no matter what kind of service that is, that it's done perfectly. Then that is attachment to the service. If you do things very casually and just because it's ought to be done and it's just very, then that is not attachment to the service. That means we don't value the service. So if you perform service with full consciousness, that will express the attachment towards that service. And if you also constantly meditate prior to that service and even afterwards, you know, about that service, that means that service is our life and soul. Is that okay? Okay, so we'll stop here. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.